morning, everyone. It's nice to be here this morning and kick off this panel. I should mention, just before I get started, we also have the chair of the Council on Linkages in the audience here, Bill Keck, and he's been very involved in academic health departments. So I'm going to give the presentation that he usually gives so he can correct me when I mess it up. So just to start, I don't have anything to disclose here. And this is just a really quick overview of what I hope to cover this morning. And you guys can all hear me, right? I can kind of hear myself, so I just want to make sure. So I want to start and give you sort of an introduction to the Academic Health Department Learning Community. And in order to do that, I'm going to talk a little bit about academic health departments, what they are, why you might want to have one. And then I'm just going to cover some of the recent activities of the learning community, as well as what we have coming up over the next few months. And then I'll end with some opportunities for any of you to get involved if you're interested. So just to begin, the Academic Health Department Learning Community is an initiative of the Council on Linkages, which is a collaborative effort of 20 national public health organizations. So all of our members are listed on the slide here, as well as our mission. But basically, the Council on Linkages works to improve public health practice, education, and research by fostering links between academia and practice, as well as between public health and healthcare, strengthening the public health infrastructure, and supporting continuing education for public health professionals. Council on Linkages is funded by CDC, and staff support is provided by the Public Health Foundation, which is why you get to listen to me this morning. So the Academic Health Department Learning Community itself is a national community focused on supporting the development, maintenance, and expansion of AHDs, or Academic Health Departments. We currently have more than 300 members, most of whom work in public health, and the learning community basically exists to bring these people who are either working in academic health department arrangements or interested in learning more about them, perhaps developing them, bring them all together so that they can learn from each other and build knowledge about AHDs. So before I say any more about the learning community, I'm not sure, is everyone familiar with the idea of an academic health department? Yes, no, maybe, kind of. Sorry? All right. So I'll go through it for anyone who's not. So an academic health department partnership is formed by the affiliation of a health department with an academic institution that's involved in training health professions students. Perhaps the easiest way, or how I thought about this when I was first learning about it, is to think about the relationship that often exists between a medical school and a teaching hospital. So in some ways, this is kind of the public health equivalent of that. The relationship between the two organizations is collaborative, and it's meant to enhance public health education and training, research, and the delivery of public health services. And of course, developing formal partnerships helps to strengthen the linkage between academia and practice within public health. So, much like a health department or really any organization, not all AHDs are the same, but they often share many core elements. And so, this slide lists the basic elements of an AHD partnership. Principally, the very most important one is that there is a relationship between an academic organization and a public health practice organization. These types of partnerships are often formalized with a written agreement, such as a contract or a memorandum of understanding, which lays out the roles and responsibilities for the organizations and how they will work together. Partnerships can involve organizations working together to provide education for students or training for public health professionals through activities like internships, practica, workforce development training. Health department staff might give guest lectures at the university or might even have faculty appointments there. Research projects may be proposed and conducted jointly, and the delivery of public health services might also be a collaborative effort with, for example, faculty providing consultation to the health department or students helping to staff some of the services within the health department. Due to the collaborative nature of these partnerships, personnel or other resources might be shared between the organizations, and compensation can sometimes be exchanged when services are provided. So, we all know that developing relationships, developing partnerships is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So why would an organization go to the effort of building and sustaining one of these partnerships? So AHDs have a variety of potential benefits, and every organization that's involved in an AHD, as well as the community that they serve, really should receive some benefit from this partnership. Having partnerships can help ensure that the resources and expertise are available in order to meet community health needs effectively, and that research being conducted is relevant to the community and is based in the reality of the practice environment. We're always experiencing, it seems like we're always experiencing times of limited resources, so working together and sharing can be a way to maximize, make the best use of the resources that you do have available. Giving students the opportunity to experience the practice environment and learn from practitioners who are actually out in the field doing these things can help prepare them for their future careers and can also help in recruitment efforts, both in terms of the health department being able to hire well-qualified graduates and also for the organizations involved to be able to recruit staff and offer them a more diverse working experience than if they just worked in a university or health department alone. What else do we have? So these relationships can help facilitate continuous learning, and this is actually one of the more interesting ones for me, and something comes up a lot in conversation with people who are working in AHDs, how interacting with students really helps keep people on their toes, forces them to keep up with what's going on in the field, and that it does take time, but it's very rewarding for everyone involved. AHD partnerships also help increase awareness of public health, and we've had both practice and academic organizations highlight the benefit they feel in terms of preparing for accreditation, whether it's CEF accreditation or FAB accreditation. And finally, and most importantly, working collaboratively in an AHD partnership should strengthen the public health system and ultimately the public's health. So, the Council on Linkages, as you might imagine from its name, has been interested in academic health departments for a long time, and so in January of 2011, we launched the Academic Health Department Learning Community. As I mentioned at the very beginning, this community supports partnerships, and it does this by bringing together practitioners, educators, and researchers to share their experiences, and collaborate on resources. So one of the difficulties in developing partnerships is that it's really hard to, say, read a journal article or find a book and know exactly how to build an AHD, right? That just doesn't happen. And even if you could, there really isn't that literature base out there yet. So the learning community was designed to allow people with experience building partnerships and those who wanted that experience to learn from each other. The learning community encourages and offers support for this exchange of knowledge and learning, and develops resources to support AHD efforts. One of the ways that we help facilitate information sharing and learning is by providing a venue for conversation. So the learning community, we try to have about 4 meetings each year, and most of these meetings are held by conference call or webinar, so you don't have to physically come anywhere to participate. And we have been lucky enough over the last few years to be able to have one in-person meeting a year as well, during APHA, actually. In between meetings, questions are exchanged by email, by phone, and we also encourage discussion through the Public Health Foundation's blog, which is PHF Pulse. We have periodic posts written by learning community members, and we've also recently started sharing a summary after each of our meetings right on the blog, so people can read it if they missed the meeting or if they were there and want to get an idea of the main points. They can go there to look at it and also to add more comments as well. So these are just some examples of blog posts. We do have a few more than that, and I would encourage you to go look at them and feel free to add your own comments. In addition, we've also been working on developing resources, and so one of the very first resources that we put together with the learning community was a concept paper which sort of lays out what an AHD is, what the benefits might be, and how this helps to address some of the concerns that were raised in terms of linking academia with practice. This paper, like almost all of our resources, is considered a working draft. So things are rarely final in Council on Linkages world. It's sort of, we add to it as we go, we update it as we go along, and so this is one of those instances where we're always open to hearing thoughts, and we'll make changes if that makes sense. We also put together a bibliography. I mentioned there's not a ton of literature, but there is some literature out there. So we put together a bibliography of that literature to give people an idea of what they might be able to read. And we've been updating this over the past couple of years as well. And the last resources I wanted to highlight is our partnership agreements collection. And this is a collection of actual affiliation agreements that organizations have used to formalize their partnerships. So if that's something you're thinking about doing, you want to see some examples, you want to see how someone else has done it, that's a place you can go to get some real live documents. And that's something we're continuously collecting as well, and so we're always looking to expand that. So if anyone has good examples they want to share, we'd love to see them. Finally, we try to encourage learning community members to get to know one another. And one of the ways that we do this is by giving everyone the option to create an online profile. And these profiles are accessible to anyone, and they provide a little bit of information about the person, their experiences, and the organizations where they work. And so people can browse through these profiles to get an idea of the expertise that someone might have. Profiles all contain contact information as well, so it makes it really easy to reach out to someone if you're looking for some advice or you need some assistance. Okay, so that was sort of in general what the learning community is all about. And I also just wanted to mention a few of our recent activities and let you know what's coming up. So I mentioned at the beginning that we have approximately 320 members right now. And that the learning community membership has actually grown a lot faster than perhaps we anticipated when we started this a couple of years ago. Most of our members come from the U.S., and most of them work in public health, although we do have some primary care professionals, and we do have a few people who are outside of the country. And we have involvement from a variety of public health organizations. People work in very different jobs. We have people from federal government, health departments, academia, associations, other nonprofits. Kind of spans the range. We've held three meetings so far this year. We had two introductory meetings in May that we did by webinar, and they were really geared towards new members, the way of, you know, trying to bring some of these 300 people into the community. And they provided an overview of academic health departments, an overview of the learning community, and we archived them. So we've made the better of the two recordings available online, and anyone can go listen to it if they want to get more information. And in September, about a month ago, it was the end of September, we held a special meeting of the learning community where we began exploring roles or opportunities for academic health departments related to health reform. And so coming up, our very next thing is this afternoon, in fact. We are having that in-person learning community meeting that I mentioned that we try to do at APHA every year. So it is today at 4:30. If anyone's interested, I would encourage you all to attend. Our meetings are completely open, so you don't have to be a member of the learning community to come. It'll be the third time we've met in person. And what we're going to do this afternoon with our discussion time is really try to focus in on continuing to explore activities or opportunities related to health reform, and how organizations can get more engaged in those efforts. Membership, as I mentioned, is growing rapidly, so one of the things we're really grappling with right now is how do we best meet the needs of a fairly large and fairly diverse group of people. So one of our first steps in the very, very near future is to conduct a needs assessment and try to identify where we should focus our efforts so that people are really getting out of the learning community experience that will help them in their jobs. Another idea that we have, again, to meet these diverse needs is to set up sort of topic-specific subgroups within the learning community so that people who are interested in a specific area can come together, learn from each other, develop resources that can then be shared with the entire community and even beyond that. Creating these smaller groups should also help facilitate meetings where we can actually have working meetings and come out with a product at the end. We're looking to enhance our existing profiles to make them easier, to make it easier for users to identify others with the experience or expertise that they might benefit from. So it's really, really great to have information about members online. We have a lot more members than we have profiles. And as our membership grows and as the number of profiles grows, we're thinking more and more about how we can make these really usable to our audience. We'd also like to take this one step further and actually set up a formal mentorship program within the learning community. So we'd be able to match people who have particular questions or particular information needs with others within the community who we know have the experience to perhaps answer those questions. When we have questions come to the learning community, more often than not, there's an answer out there among the membership. So we want to help build and sustain these connections within individual or between individual members as well. In addition to these sort of specific changes in how the learning community functions, we're also looking at some broader activities. So for example, we're just about to start working on refining the definition of an academic health department. So the definition that we use now is very broad. And so we get a lot of questions about, well, am I really an academic health department, or what do I need to do to become an academic health department? How do I figure this out? And it's been proposed that there are perhaps stages of development. So you might start with a simple practicum sort of relationship and grow from there to like a comprehensive relationship where you're working together on service and research and education and training and everything. So we're going to be looking at that, seeing if we can propose stages, kind of try to nail down the definition a little bit more to give people some guidance when they're working. And this should also help in terms of identifying or recognizing when an AHD partnership exists. Similarly, we've been approached about conducting a survey among the learning community members to collect information about AHDs, to learn more about the characteristics of these partnerships. So there are a couple of researchers working on this effort, and we're working with them to look at how we might help build this knowledge base for everyone. And finally, we're always interested in making connections and increasing awareness about academic health departments and AHD activities. A variety of other organizations, including APHA, have voiced interest recently in the idea of academic health departments and getting more involved and what can they do to help spread the word. So we're pursuing those opportunities. As well, the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice is preparing a theme issue on academic health departments, which should come out early next year.
May.
Excellent. So that will be good in terms of helping to build this knowledge base as well. And so the more that we can get people talking about AHDs, thinking about AHDs, and making connections, you know, the happier we are about everything. So with that, I'll close by inviting you all to visit our website. The website is on the slide here. So if you're interested in learning more about the learning community, you can go there. Check out any of the resources that I've mentioned, as well as other resources that we've developed. If you're actually interested in joining the learning community, it's really easy. All you have to do is tell me you want to. Essentially that simple. So I put my email address on the slide there too, so feel free to send me an email. Feel free also to just stop me after the session. I'm happy to talk to anyone. Council on Linkages also has a monthly newsletter, the Council on Linkages Update, and we often include information about the learning community activities in there, as well as sending that information directly to community members. So if you're interested in hearing more about what we're doing, sort of keeping tabs on what's going on, that's a good way to get that information without having to dive right in if you're perhaps not ready for that yet. And, of course, I'm happy to hear questions. I don't know, are we saving questions till the end? We'll save questions till the end, and feel free to email me anytime with your questions as well. So, thank you very much.